My dear friends in Christ, venerable sisters, religious clergy, I believe that you will agree as we grow older, and those eldest here in our parish certainly corroborate, as we grow older, it seems that time goes more quickly. We may live to be 100 years old, but I believe that everyone who reaches 100 years will look back on their life and reflect just how quickly it went by. We all have had this experience in some degree. There will be maybe a year where we are particularly busy, and it's as though you blink your eyes, you snap your fingers, and a year has gone by or more. And so we may ask the question, if you do make it to 100 years old, most of us probably won't, but you've reached the end of your life here on earth, and you look back and you try to see this life in retrospect, will you remember? Will you remember that time that your sibling insulted you and you just couldn't believe that they had said that? Will you remember that coworker who was just so incredibly annoying? Will you remember so many little crosses, so many little annoyances? And of course, the answer is no. You're not going to look back and have some sort of odd appreciation or give importance to the little things. Life is too short. Both the epistle and the gospel for today are trying to tell us this very thing. First things first. Our Lord in this gospel, according to St. Matthew, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And then he goes on to talk about the fifth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. But there is more to this commandment. We should not even be calling one another fool. We should not have these grievances. In fact, if we remember that we have some grievance against our brother, go and be reconciled before offering your gift. And what does this mean? This is an explanation of his beginning this gospel with, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. What do we know of the scribes and Pharisees? Our Lord said plainly one of their chief faults was hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. They loved to do everything on the surface. They would obey the little, rather meaningless laws. But as he said very plainly, they forgo the weightier part of the law, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so he says here, the same for us. If we are not fulfilling that great law first, if we do not love one another, then don't pretend. Don't come to Mass and say that you love our Lord with your whole heart, mind, and soul. don't pretend to be a good and faithful Catholic. In a very real way, this gospel is a frightening one, because it implicates every single one of us. Are we not all guilty of this in some degree or another? Now, we tend to look at these gospel stories and we make them very, very specific. So specific that, well, I'm not myself. I don't think I have any huge grudge against somebody. I'm not planning to murder someone. So this must not apply to me. That is not the case at all here. In fact, our Lord brings it down to a very relatable thing. He who says, "Thou fool," that's not a very terrible thing to say in the grand scheme of things. I've heard much worse. But whoever says, "Thou fool," shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. That is hellfire. Now, of course, this is not literally, if we call someone a fool, we've committed a mortal sin. That's not what our Lord is telling us here. But it's the disposition of the heart. If we are bitter and angry and selfish, and as a result are not practicing this great law, love thy neighbor as thyself, then we have a problem. First things first. And what is first thing? We know the great laws. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, and strength. But the second is like to this, Almighty God tells us, to love thy neighbor. I shared this with the sisters this last week. I thought this was a really wonderful visual. Imagine that you have a large jar and you have different items that you are going to put in it. You're going to fill this jar. In fact, I think I heard of this in the context of a teacher showing his students. But we have rocks, we have gravel, we have sand, we have water. And he fills this jar with the larger rocks, the stones. And he asked the students, "Is this jar full? You can't fit any more rocks in." Say, "Oh, yeah, the jar is full." "Oh, all right." So they take the gravel, much smaller pieces, and he carefully pours it in and shakes the jar until all those little cracks and crevices were filled in. "Now is the jar full?" Okay, wheels are starting to turn. Maybe, maybe not. "Okay, now take the sand. Pour the sand in. Same thing. Shake the jar." It's amazing how much sand we were able to fit in that jar. All these little cracks and crevices you didn't even necessarily see or appreciate. Even then, it's not totally full because we can still take quite a bit of water. Pour it in this jar. Now imagine, would it have worked if we did it in any other order? And the answer is no. You had to do it in that order. The larger stones, medium, small, smallest. This is a good visual for our own lives. If we are filling ourselves with what is petty, unimportant, or at least less important, very likely we're not going to have room for the more important, the larger things. And so, first things first. It is beautiful to see in the lives of the saints how not only they understood this concept, but they really put it into practice. Unfortunately for ourselves, that's not always the case. We might understand something. We might nod our head and say, oh, Father, that makes sense. But then we go out and we still worry ourselves with all these unimportant things. But the saints understood and they put it into practice. I'm so very often moved by the life of St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales, if you read and really understand what kind of man he was, it's impossible to not be inspired, because he was born with a rather difficult temperament. He was not a very people-oriented person. He had a very difficult temper. He had a hard time dealing with people. But he was ordained a priest and then a bishop. And this was at the height of the Calvinist heresy, particularly in Switzerland. They were extraordinarily violent. In fact, there were martyrs at that time. The Calvinists would not put up with Catholics trying to convert them. And so there was a great need and then an appeal for volunteers to go into Geneva, Switzerland to try and convert these Calvinists. And it was fairly well understood that this was going to be a death sentence. And there was you're going to have incredible tact and ability to deal with people if you're going to be successful at all. Well, the first to raise his hand, St. Francis. At great cost to himself, not only the obvious sacrifice of perhaps giving his life, but also the martyrdom of overcoming self. Here he was, a more retiring person, had a difficulty with people, and he was going to put himself deliberately in this situation where he had to exercise such tact and skill with people. Well, of course, we can assume, we know at least the story in part, because he was a great success, because he was so determined to put first things first, to overcome self, to do everything in his power to help and to love his neighbor. His work was blessed. Though there are little anecdotes in the life of St. Francis, in fact, after his death, a few things were discovered. They figured that really close, or as far as they knew, close to the time of his death, St. Francis still struggled with his temperament. He became known as the gentle saint. No one would have ever guessed that he had a hot temper, a difficult temperament. But they discovered after his death that underneath his desk, where he would sit and receive people and hear their problems, the bottom was completely scratched and destroyed by his fingernails. So intense were his efforts to overcome self. He would physically maybe have to control himself to be patient. It was also discovered after his death that his gallbladder was completely full to the top with stones, which is a clear indication of incredible stress. If you are, and I encourage you, if you have the time, please do read A Life of St. Francis de Sales, because his is a brilliant example of putting first things first, not sweating the little stuff, realizing I can set aside the difficulties, the differences I see in my fellow man, and I'm going to love them for Christ's sake. My dear friends, life is too short. When we look back, if we have done our very best to fulfill the great commandments, we will have no regret. We will look back upon a very happy and fulfilled life. In fact, we will most likely be only full of these sentiments of gratitude. How good God has been. What a wonderful life I have had, regardless of circumstances. So let us put aside the differences we have with one another. Again, yes, the great crosses, the very difficult circumstances, we have to work particularly on those, but all the way down to the small and what may seem insignificant. Just simply being annoyed with one another at home, thinking judgmental thoughts against that coworker. Let us put first things first. Let us love one another for Christ's sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.